Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs.
Fry, Stephen Fry, Bob, Aiden. 3,500 words, 20 minutes. Anthropic.com news of Firefox security. Read anthropic.com/2026 0 days. Arxiv 2404.08144. Arxiv 2603.02297. Google GTIG 2025 0 day review. Arxiv 2602.0216.
It reported a use after free vulnerability in the JavaScript engine, a memory bug, the kind that could let an attacker overwrite arbitrary data in your browser while you're reading the news.
And this was a known bug they were hunting for?
Novel. Never reported, by definition couldn't have been in any prior disclosure. 20 minutes to find a high-severity vulnerability in one of the most audited codebases on the internet. Maintained by a dedicated security team with years of continuous fuzzing infrastructure behind it.
So the bar just moved.
The bar just moved. Welcome to Dispatches from the Edge. I'm Fry.
I'm Bob.
Today's episode is called The Window, and we mean that Chapter 1, The Curve.
Walk me back. Where does this start?
April 2024. A paper out of UIUC. Arxiv 2404.0814. LLM agents can autonomously exploit one-day vulnerabilities, Daniel Kang and colleagues. They take GPT-4, wrap it in 91 lines of LangChain code, and point it at 15 real-world systems with known critical vulnerabilities.
91 lines.
91 lines. That is the entire attack agent. GPT-4 successfully exploits 87% of the vulnerabilities when given the CVE description. Every other model they test, GPT-3.5, every open source model, commercial scanners like Zap and Metasploit, 0%.
So, GPT-4 was in a class of its own in 2024.
Completely. And there's a detail worth noting without the CVE description. Without being told what the bug is, GPT-4 drops to 7%. The model has the capability but needs the knowledge to aim it. That's the 2024 baseline.
Then what happens?
February 5th, 2026, Anthropic publishes a post on their Red Team blog, Nicholas Carlini, Keen Lucas, and colleagues. They've been running Opus 4.6 against open source software. Code bases that have had fuzzers running against them continuously for years, accumulating millions of CPU hours of machine-driven testing, and Opus finds high-severity vulnerabilities, multiple, including bugs that had gone undetected for decades.
In software that was already being tested around the clock.
Correct. And here is the qualitative shift that matters. Fuzzers work by throwing massive amounts of random input at code to see what breaks. Brute force, Opus 4.6 reads, and reasons about code the way a human researcher would, looking at past fixes to find similar bugs that weren't fully addressed, spotting patterns that tend to cause problems, understanding logic well enough to construct the exact input that breaks it.
It's doing security research, not automated scanning.
That's the right frame. By the end of that effort, they had found and validated more than 500 high-severity 0 days. 0 days meaning unknown to the software maintainers in well-tested, well-maintained open-source code.
500!
500, and then comes the Mozilla collaboration. Chapter 2, 20 minutes, and what followed.
So, Firefox specifically.
Firefox specifically. Anthropic chose it deliberately, because it's one of the most complex and most thoroughly secured open-source projects in existence. Hundreds of millions of users, a browser processes untrusted content by design. Every web page you load is code running in your browser. So browser vulnerabilities are particularly dangerous.
If you can compromise the browser, you're already inside the perimeter.
Exactly. Opus 4.6 finds the first use after free in 20 minutes. The team validates it independently in a virtual machine running the latest Firefox release, files the bug report in Mozilla's Bugzilla tracker, includes a proposed patch written by Claude, validated by the researchers.
And while they're doing that?
While they're filing that first report, Claude has already found 50 more unique crashing inputs by the end of the effort. 2 weeks. They've scanned nearly 6,000 C++ files and submitted 112 unique reports. 22 vulnerabilities confirmed, 14 classified high severity.
How does that compare?
Those 14 high severity bugs represent almost a fifth of all high severity Firefox vulnerabilities remediated in all of 2025 in 2 weeks with one model.
That's not incremental improvement. That's a different order of capability.
It is, and Google's Threat Intelligence Group is tracking the real-world numbers. 90 zero days exploited in the wild in 2025, up from 78 in 2024, enterprise software. 48% of those, and all-time high. And for the first time in the history of their track, commercial surveillance vendors attributed more zero days than traditional nation-state espionage groups.
The barrier to entry is dropping on the offense side, too.
That is the curve. 2 years, 91 lines of code targeting known vulnerabilities in 2024. To 500 novel, 0 days in decades-hardened codebases in 2026. Chapter 3, The Honest Assessment.
You said the episode earns credibility by not overstating. So what are we not claiming?
We are not claiming the exploitation gap has closed. It hasn't. Anthropic ran the full experiment. They gave Opus 4.6 the vulnerabilities they'd already found in Firefox and asked it to turn them into working exploits. They spent approximately $4,000 in API credits running that test hundreds of times.
How many working exploits?
2 cases where Claude successfully developed a crude browser exploit, and those exploits only worked in a test environment. With security mitigations intentionally disabled, not in real Firefox, with all its hardening in place.
So, it can find the door, but it can't reliably pick the lock.
That's accurate. And zero-day bench, a paper accepted to ICLR 2026, formalizes this. They build a benchmark of 22 novel critical vulnerabilities in open-source codebases and test frontier models, GPT 5.2, Claude Sonnet 4.5, Grok 4.1. Their finding is that frontier models are not yet capable of autonomously solving the hardest tasks.
So we're not there.
We're not there, and that gap is the story, because it defines the window we're in.
Finding is democratized. Weaponizing isn't.
Not yet. The cost of identifying vulnerabilities, Anthropic's words, is an order of magnitude cheaper than creating a reliable exploit. That asymmetry still exists. What's changed is which direction it cuts. Defenders now have access to the same finding capability that was previously the domain of large, well-resourced security teams.
The question is whether they use it.
That is the question. And the window is the time between now and when that exploitation gap closes, because it will close. It closes with every model generation. The arc from April 2024 to today is 2 years. Apply that slope forward. Chapter 4. What's most at risk?
So given this capability, what's the attack surface that matters?
Start with legacy C and C++, browsers, kernels, network stacks, firmware, decades of memory unsafe code. The bugs LLMs find in Firefox are use after freeze. Heap overflows. The classic memory corruption class. These exist because C and C++ give you direct memory management and no automatic safety guarantees. Every major codebase written in those languages over the last 40 years is carrying this debt,
And now, that debt is innumerable?
Rapidly. Second category. Critical infrastructure, SCADA systems, industrial control, power grid software, often ancient, rarely audited, frequently air-gapped, which was protection when auditing required physical access and deep expertise. It's not protection anymore when the expertise is available on API.
That one worries me more than Firefox.
It should. Firefox has a dedicated security team, a bug bounty program, coordinated disclosure relationships. A lot of industrial control software does not. Third, open source supply chain. The NPM packages, the PyPI libraries, the dependencies inside everything. Open source is the first target precisely because it's accessible and because vulnerabilities there ripple everywhere. A bug in a widely used library doesn't affect one project, it affects every project that imports it.
Episode 24, the Clinjection attack.
Exactly. AI-assisted supply chain compromise. The cost of finding exploitable packages in the dependency graph is falling. Fourth, enterprise edge devices. Google's data makes this concrete security appliances, networking gear, VPN concentrators. 48% of 2025 zero days targeted enterprise technology. State actors prioritize these because they're the entry point to everything behind them. The same reasoning that makes them attractive to nation states makes them attractive to anyone with the capability to find the bugs.
And now more people have that capability.
More people have that capability. Chapter 5, The Threat Model Shift.
This is where you made the claim about lone actors.
And I want to be precise about it. A motivated individual with clawed access and time now has vulnerability discovery capability that 2 years ago required a dedicated security research team. That is not speculation. It follows directly from the documented results. The Anthropic team that worked on the Firefox collaboration was not enormous. The model did the scanning. The humans validated and filed.
So the team is the bottleneck, not the finding.
The team is the bottleneck, and the validation bottleneck is collapsing too. As models get better at reasoning about whether a potential bug is real, the Google data on commercial surveillance vendors is instructive here. These are companies that sell zero-day exploit capability to governments and law enforcement. They've now surpassed traditional state espionage groups in attributed 0 days. The proliferation of this capability is already happening at the organizational level.
The individual level is next.
The individual level is the logical conclusion of the cost curve. We're not there yet on full weaponization. The exploitation gap is real. But we're already there on discovery. A lone actor with Claude can enumerate the attack surface of a complex code base in ways that were impossible without significant resources 2 years ago.
Which means defenders have to change their assumption.
The assumption that needs to die is that your attack surface hasn't been enumerated because you haven't announced it. That assumption was always questionable. It's untenable now. If your code base is written in memory unsafe languages and you haven't run AI-assisted auditing against it, you don't know what's in it.
And someone else might.
And someone else might. Chapter 6. What we do in the window.
So not doom. What's the affirmative case?
The same capability that finds the bugs can harden the code. That's the first thing to understand. Anthropic is using Claude to find and report vulnerabilities in open source projects and contributing the patches. Mozilla researchers have started using Claude internally for security work. The Anthropic and Mozilla post is explicit that this collaboration is a model, their word, for how AI-enabled security researchers and maintainers can work together.
So continuous AI-assisted auditing as standard practice.
That's the first response. If you maintain a code base, run the tools against it. If you're a company that ships software, this is not optional anymore. The threat is using the same capability. The defense has to match it.
What about the underlying cause?
Memory-safe languages. This is the structural response. The bugs Opus finds in Firefox are memory bugs. use after freeze, heap corruption. Because Firefox is written primarily in C++. Rust eliminates this class of bugs architecturally, not by finding them, be making them impossible to write. The Rust adoption that's already underway in the Linux kernel, in Android, in parts of Windows, this needs to accelerate. The AI findings are a forcing function. We now have documented evidence of how deep the problem runs in legacy code bases.
We're talking about rewriting decades of code.
We're talking about prioritized migration. Not all at once, the highest risk surfaces first. The memory management code, the parser code, the code that touches untrusted input, that's where the bugs live. Rust in those places eliminates the attack surface. It doesn't need to be a full rewrite to matter.
Supply chain.
Software, bills of materials, bombs. Reproducible builds, signed dependencies. Know what you're shipping and be able to verify it. The CLINEJECTION attack worked because the dependency graph was opaque. That's fixable. Not easy, but fixable.
And open source specifically.
Open source has the structural advantage here. Closed code bases can't benefit from community auditing. They can't benefit from coordinated disclosure relationships. They can't benefit from the Mozilla model. Open code can be read, which means it can be audited continuously by anyone with the capability. The projects that will have the best security posture in 5 years are the ones you can read today.
Ah, this is the open source argument reframed as a security argument.
It always was a security argument. The maxim that security through obscurity is not security. That's not new. What's new is that the cost of auditing just collapsed. The advantage of being readable just became dramatically more concrete.
So the window is an opportunity, not just a threat.
That is the point. The bugs were always there, 50 years of memory unsafe code, and we knew in principle the debt existed. Now we can see it, now we can measure it. 500 zero days in well-tested software. That's not 500 new problems. That's 500 old problems, finally surfaced. The window is the time we have to fix them before the exploitation side of the capability catches up.
How long is the window?
2 years ago, GPT-4 needed to be told what the bug was to exploit it. Today's models find the bugs. Tomorrow's models will be better at turning them into exploits. The window is not a fixed thing. It's a closing thing. The question is, what we do with the time? The bugs were always there. What changed is who can find them, how fast, and at what cost.
And the cost is now low enough that the threat model has to change.
The finding side is democratized. The exploitation side still has friction. Use the friction. Audit your code. Migrate to memory-safe languages. Harden your supply chain. Adopt the open-source model where you can...
And don't assume your attack surface is secret.
Never assume that again. That's dispatches from the edge
I'm Bob. Stay curious.
Stay safe.
This podcast is entirely AI-generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.